What's going on, guys? This is your boy HD, and welcome back to season number two of the Textual Talk. I'm still getting used to this since I changed it. Previously, it was Let's Talk Tech. So if you type that in, you may find us. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button, share it out for the YouTube algorithm. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it, Anchor, favorite it, you know, keep on watching, sharing it out. You know what I'm saying? Listening when you go into work. But yeah. We got a special guest for you today. We have the lovely Miss Rachel. Can you give her a round of applause, please?
Hello.
All right. So, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Rachel introduce herself, and then we're going to get the show on the road.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Rachel. I am originally from Houston, Texas, currently based in Dallas, Texas. I currently work in the IT industry, specifically with Salesforce. Been working in the industry for about 3 years now. And I'm just here to talk everything about Salesforce. So hope you all enjoy.
Nice, nice. Oh, I didn't know you was a Texas native. You gave me like East Coast vibes.
East Coast. Okay, that's different. Nah.
Do they play the South Side at like every family function?
Well, I'm Nigerian, so no.
Yeah, so your background is actually going to be pretty interesting. Just briefly, and you don't have to go in depth, kind of because we're from the South, I'm from Louisiana. Things in tech aren't that big down here, so it's kind of different when people are young and actually in tech. So kind of give maybe a brief background as far as I say probably from like, I don't know if you did college or whatever your route was, but kind of like your background story of like whether you were doing something else and then you decided to get into tech or whatever. So kind of give us that background and tell us a little bit about like how it was growing up in Houston.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I actually went to school up north, well, the northern side of Texas, so in Denton. So it's about 45 minutes north of Dallas. I started off studying biochemistry. So I'll start by saying my route into tech is very untraditional. I absolutely did not know that I was going to do tech up until after I graduated. So I started off studying biochemistry through college. I worked as a pharmacist technician, like at a local pharmacy near my school. So I became more familiar with that industry. And along the way, I decided like, this is not for me, like very quickly, it's not for me. So that kind of made me wanted to explore other avenues. But, you know, at that time, it was a little too late. Well, not too late, but I was still able to change my major. So I actually changed my major to integrative studies. So it was an integrative degree, which was composed of the classes I already took. So it was biology, health, and business. So after I graduated, I stayed in the health field. I worked for a medical device company as just a quality assurance coordinator. And that was my first introduction into tech. We were going through like a organization-wide implementation, software implementation using Salesforce. So that was actually like my initial introduction to the IT industry, to Salesforce. I was one of the end users, the testers, to make sure that like what at that time the consultants built out still aligned with our business processes. So I was able to get, you know, a little hands on, get my hands dirty from that experience. And from there, like I just took it upon myself to just learn more about Salesforce with all like the online resources that are provided, like I primarily use Trailhead at that time to just, you know, really go into the sandbox and just play around. And a lot of me entering into tech was just had a lot to do with my curiosity and just me wanting to just learn a different skill set that you know, I wasn't taught elsewhere. And of course, I networked with people who were already in the tech industry. It wasn't at that, like you said, it wasn't too many people at that time that I actually had access to just, you know, that was a phone call away. I actually had access to about like two people at the time that I, you know, whenever I had a question, I would just, you know, reach out to them and ask them like, hey, how did you navigate through this? But I used my resources at that time very heavily, and I still use my resources that I used when I first started. So I still use Trailhead. I still use the people who I knew were in tech at the time. And along the way, like, you just figure out more resources as you dive more into your career in the industry.
Nice, nice. That's what's up, man. So you went to UNT. Did you go there the same year as my guy Tate went?
Yes, I did. And that was one of my resources. He's gotcha. Still one of my resources.
Yeah, we worked together. I met him when he was one of his internships at, we could say it now, we all worked at him over at McAfee. And that was, what, oh, 4 McAfee. Years ago? Yeah, so I've been on him for like 4 years now. And then after that, him and I both worked together at Optiv, my last company, for about, I want to say, a little bit right before he graduated and a little bit after he graduated. He worked with us. And, you know, I knew back then he was going to be special. So I always try to give my guy his flowers when I can. I wasn't able to do it on that Spaces the other night just because everybody's trying to talk. But, you know, Tay, if you listening, shout out to you, dog. You're going to go far.
Shout out to you.
Like Webby said, hey, dog, I don't know who you is, but you're going to be something.
Hello.
But it's funny, like, a lot of us who went to college for one thing always end up transitioning to something else. Like, for me, I always tell everybody, I went to Louisiana Tech, by the way.
Nice.
I went there and I thought I was going to be an architect. And then I found out what the architecture kids have to do. And I was like, that's not my strongest skill set. So I made an executive decision, you know, within the end of my first quarter, because we're on the quarter system, hey, I'm going to go to computer information systems. And that's, you know, that's kind of like how that worked out for me. So you've been doing what, working with Salesforce since you left college?
I've been working with Salesforce a year after I left college. So I started off as an end user. And after that role, I actually went into an internship role where I dived a little further into Salesforce as far as, like, you know, utilizing my past skill sets and really understanding, like, how to utilize, like, the process builder, create reports, things like that. During my internship, the internship was about three months long. And then following that internship, I actually was in a rotation program. So in that rotation program as well, I was also using Salesforce. So,
got you. Yeah. So I think we probably put the horse in front of the carriage, or is it the carriage for the horse? I don't know. I messed that up, by the way.
Horse in front of the kids.
Right. But anyways, let's do this for the viewers. You know, if you're just tuning in, make sure you hit that like button, share it on YouTube for me. But check it out. Explain to us what is Salesforce. I have an idea, but you're going to laugh at this. I've never researched what Salesforce was, but I know it's important because I see it all the time, but I just hadn't, you know, looked at it. Because I had one of my clients, it was funny when you said Trailhead, it's like she's messing me every day. Yeah, I'm on Trailhead. I'm learning this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I didn't got to, you know what I'm saying? But explain to everybody, you know, a little bit about what Salesforce is and I guess what type of business may or may not use it, things like that. You know, I think when people kind of put use to something, it kind of clicks for them a little more.
Yeah, sure. So the way that I like to explain it, by definition, Salesforce is a CRM cloud platform system. So it's in the cloud and it's pretty much used to manage customer relationships. And Salesforce could be used by any company, whether it's the company size is 10 associates or 10,000 associates. Like, it's built for any company size, any industry. And it just works well. It's very user friendly. And there's a lot of resources. I actually have about 1, 2, 3, 4 Trailhead tabs open right now. I reference Trailhead a lot. There's just so many resources available as far as like learning Salesforce. But pretty much what I focus on was the service side. So it was the, how do I explain this? Pretty much the client has like, let's say roughly 10,000 customers. What Salesforce is used is to manage those customers' relationships. So you'll have an object that's named the contacts object, and that's pretty much used to manage that contact. So anytime you're working with a particular contact, you can just search that contact into the global search, and all the information that's related to that contact will appear, whether it may be a case or an account or just any financial information or, you know, just anything that is related to that contact. It's like on that central screen. But there's just so much that you can do with Salesforce. Like, I don't even know where to start. I know when I first started with Salesforce, I learned like the fundamentals, like what is an object? Like, what is a field? How to create a report? What else did I learn? Oh, how to, you know, customize your toolbar. Just, you know, little front, not little, but like the basic front end items as far as like navigating on how to customize it to your preference or your business process. But once you start to go on the back end, which will be the second step, once you understand the front end, I started to learn more of like how to create a record type or how to, you know, add fields into a page or how to manage knowledge articles. There's just so many things. I know when I first started, it was a bit overwhelming, but the more you just, you know, get in and get your hands dirty, it's like playing, it's like learning a new game to play. I feel like sometimes when I go into the sandbox, I feel like I'm like playing a game. And, you know, it's user friendly. Like, it's not difficult. I try to tell people all the time, just try it out. Just log into the cool part about Trailhead is that it's super informational. But if you don't like to read, you can always go into the sandbox and just, you know, view it for yourself. Like, you can actually like create a record, or you can create an object or a page. Like, you can do whatever you're curious about doing. Like, you have all the rights to do that inside the sandbox. So if you're interested in Salesforce, I would highly recommend creating a Trailhead account. It takes about 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes. You can just simply link it to your Google account and just start from anywhere, literally just start clicking around, start reading around. And Trailhead has a unique way of guiding you through, you know, just how to navigate from like the basic things that you need to know and kind of like expanding your skill sets from there. So it's a great, 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 great resource. And shout out to Salesforce for even having that available, because I haven't seen anything like that ever, to be honest. So yeah,
right. And shout out to you for shouting that out, because one of the questions I was going to ask you is how do they get started on Trailhead? And I was going to ask, in your opinion, a person coming from whatever profession they were in, the word is feasible, or, you know, how realistic, there you go, let's say, how realistic is it for someone coming from a different type of career? Or let me back up, because this is what I like to do. I don't like to just have people do stuff just because it could be lucrative or something, right? I tend to ask, like, you know, based on a person's interest, like what they may be interested in or like doing at a job or in their personal life, I kind of try to sometimes align them to what they could do in the tech world. Mm-hmm. So I would say based on that, what type of people would you think or you know for sure probably have a good shot at transitioning to using Salesforce and being successful as like making like a career pivot?
Yeah, sure. So I wouldn't say it's Salesforce is limited to any sort of background. I would say if you are motivated, if you are a self-learner, and if you're interested in learning a new skill, just start with Salesforce. Honestly, you can, like, once you understand Salesforce, you could work within the fashion industry, you can work within the oil industry, like whatever your interest is, you can find a way to bridge that gap. But I feel like you definitely have to have that like willingness to be able to learn. And like a lot has to do with, you know, creating that time and, creating that time to be willing to teach yourself. Cause a lot of what I know about Salesforce is self-taught. Like I personally, there's actually a lot of courses available, but I like to just take my time and read and just go at my own pace. That works well for me, but for the next person, it may work better if you choose a course, but just, you know, creating that time to really just, be willing to learn a new skill set. If you fall into that category, then Salesforce is for you.
Appreciate that breakdown because in my ebook, I tell people, even though my ebook is about cybersecurity, it could apply to all facets of getting into tech or whatever, because the concepts stay the same. My concepts just happen to be geared to getting a role in cybersecurity. But I told people, hey, you know, it's cool. You want to do all the glamour roles, but don't be afraid to niche down, because you can niche into something and be straight. You become a subject matter expert, you know, early on, just because you got so much hands-on experience with something. So I think it's pretty cool that we are discussing, it's like a particular software that I think is probably gained market share recently, just because I've been seeing Salesforce everywhere. Can you tell us what type of industries, or we could do it to like this and say where you've used it at, like for clients or something like that for Salesforce, like, you know, what type of industry would use it? Because I know sometimes that may be a way somebody can get into Salesforce. They could probably reach out to somebody that may be working at the company already using Salesforce and say, hey, I'm interested in learning this. How do I start? Yeah. Or how can I shadow you or something like that?
Right. Yeah, so my background earlier is heavily within the health industry. I have a very heavy biology background. So I kind of just fell into the health industry, just being that like that's what I pretty much studied. So you would see a lot of like, you know, companies within that industry using Salesforce as their central CRM platform, whether it may be a hospital or a drug manufacturing company or a medical device company. Most of those companies are, you know, if they're not already using Salesforce, they're definitely, you know, have that in their pipeline to implement as their central platform. But I currently work for a consulting group, and I know that Salesforce, a lot of our clients falls into either the healthcare industry or the higher education industry. So if you're interested in maybe working for a university or connecting with, you know, anyone that you may know that works in that sector, just ask them, hey, is your university using Salesforce? And, you know, just kind of connect the dots. Like, honestly, there's not really a straight path into landing a career into Salesforce. You just have to get creative, honestly. Just create a network, utilize any resource available to you. But to answer your question, I've seen Salesforce most heavily used within the healthcare and higher education industry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. because it's people, you know, these essential workers in healthcare and things like that. Like, they ain't trying to be going to work and stuff like that. So they're trying to find different ways to pivot out. I know one of my friends is a nurse, and I was sending her some stuff that I saw on my timeline about a nurse pivoted. I don't know if she pivoted using Salesforce or something else to a BA role or something. I don't know. But, you know, she was able do something, you know, similar. But yeah. I appreciate that, guys. So I'm telling you, I need to listen, because this is free game that you're not going to get in school. They're just going to tell you to keep going to school. They ain't going to tell you. Also, you've been saying CRM a lot. I don't think you've explained what CRM is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can take CRM. A guess at it. Wait, let me take a guess.
Go ahead.
Customer. I got two guesses. Customer relationship management.
Easy.
That's it?
Easy. Yeah. That's okay. It. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Whenever you think of a business, like a business needs customers in order to operate, and they need a way to manage those relationships within, you know, between their business and their customers. So it's just like a central platform to manage any relationship, like whatever relationship you could possibly think of. Salesforce has a solution, whether it may be out of the box or a customizable solution that is available to manage that relationship. Like, I know in the past, when let's say you're going to the doctor's office, you probably had like a folder for all of your information on there. But, you know, all that's gone, like everything is digital. So that's when, you know, Salesforce is the new digital experience that just works, as far as like, you know, getting rid of any paper copies or folders or all of that we used to do maybe about 10 years ago, and just everything is managed in a cloud. So, yeah.
Nice. That's dope. Because I know, I remember, like, and it's not really related to Salesforce, but I remember years ago, I was thinking about trying to get into Epic, like just with the EHR stuff. But back then, you could not get your hands on Epic unless you was at a hospital.
Right.
Which was crazy to me. I'm like, it's not hard. It's when Epic was, to me, was like gatekeeping. Like, it would not let you, like, I have a friend that works with Epic, and whenever they stop being camera shy, they're going to have to come on here. But I appreciate that. Now, for like some, I guess some insightful stuff. As I tend to ask people this, like based on their different freaking career paths or whatever professions. That's better.
Yeah.
But realistically, what are like the salaries like for like Salesforce, where it can go from either, you know, entry, mid-level, senior, and what on past that kind of, and since I think your things that you're based in a DFW area, right? Mm-hmm. Granted, I know like Salesforce, you can be remote or whatever, but because I always like to give people realistic numbers that they possibly could think of, like what they possibly make. Cause some people will think, well, somebody said I go do this stuff in Salesforce and I'm gonna do, you know, X, Y, Z. I'm like, don't always work like that. You might just, that person might just looked up into a good situation.
Right. Yeah. So personally, I haven't done an in-depth market research, but I do have an idea just based off of experience of what I've seen so far. So the numbers may be a little off, but from what I've seen, it's pretty accurate. So as far as like entry level salary, so this would probably be like a BA role, business analyst role. You should expect the salary from about 65 to 80K. That's a large range, but it should definitely fall into that. That's with little to no experience. You're not certified as an admin yet. That's just your first row into the tech industry. You're just getting your feet wet. That's what you should expect. And it's so interesting because there's just so many ways you can grow really, really fast with Salesforce. So I would say for someone who is a fast learner, who's gained a lot of experience within that first year, and who also became a certified administrator, you could expect like a 20 to 40K increase after your first year. So that will put you at about 80 to 105K a year, as your, you know, your total compensation. Fast forward another year, you could, let's say you received your Service Cloud certification. You have 2 years of experience now. What else? You have two certificates. You moved into a role. Let's say you're like maybe a product manager, product owner, project manager. I would say an additional 20 to 40K increase. So that'll put you at about 100K to roughly, sorry, my number, my math is a little off, but I would say average 100 to 130K a year. And this is all, this is the non-technical route, by the way. So with Salesforce, you can take the non-technical route or the technical route. And I'll actually explain that because I get asked this question quite a lot. So if you are interested in, yay, free game. But yeah, now if you're interested in Salesforce and you're not interested in learning how to code, that will be the non-technical route. And roles that are included in a non-technical route are business analyst roles, UX, UI designer. You can become a scrum master or product manager. All these roles fall under the non-technical route, but it's still a technical role, but you're just not required to, you know, learn how to code. In the coding language that Salesforce uses is Apex. So if you're not interested in doing that, just, you know, learn the fundamentals of Salesforce as far as like how to build out a process using a process builder, or just learning how to do anything that is out of the box. And once you start to learn more about Salesforce, you'll learn more about like out of the box build or versus customization builds. However, if you're wanting to go down a technical route, so these will include roles like engineers, solutions architects, testers, what else? Solutions architect, testers. I think that's for the most part, that's all I can think of right now. There's probably more, but definitely engineers, solutions architects, and testers. That would be down the more technical route. So these roles get paid, I would say, probably 25% more than the non-technical roles, but they would require you to, you know, just, I won't say do more work, but really understand like the back end and technical side of Salesforce. So if that's your interest, if you feel like you already have coding experience and learning a new language wouldn't be too difficult and you just want to dive into that area, you should expect a starting salary. Let's say you're an engineer. I don't know. I'll say about 85K as a starting salary. However, the way that Salesforce is designed, I don't really imagine anyone ever like just jumping into a solutions architect role. Like you, no matter how smart you are or what kind of background you have, like you still have to understand the fundamentals of Salesforce. So you still have to start from like an admin role to really understand like just basic configurable items. And then from the admin role, then you could, you know, pivot into, or you can make up your mind whether you want to go down a non-technical track and or the technical track. But I know that was a little bit all over the place, but to sum it up, for someone who's going down a non-technical track, expect a starting salary from about 60 to 85K a year and expect to grow your salary about 20 to 30K each year if you're open to, you know, learning and expanding your certs and just constantly expanding your network. If you go down the technical route, expect a starting salary of about 85 to 105K a year and the same type of increase. The key to really growing in your Salesforce career is like constantly like learning new skills as far as like not new skills, but just actually, yeah, constantly growing your skill sets, because the more skill sets you have, the better your likelihood of receiving a new cert. So with Salesforce, you're constantly learning. Like no matter if you're already certified, you still have to maintain your certs within Trailhead. That takes about 2 hours, but that's only required, I believe, once a year. But you know, the goal is to always continue to grow. So I don't imagine anyone wanting to remain at a single role. But yeah, those are the numbers.
Hey, let me do this for you real quick. That's what I was doing while you was talking. I had to get the gunshots for you because you pretty much laid that out and gave another answer about being technical and non-technical, which was something I was going to bring up, because like for whatever reason, everybody just feels like you got to know how to code to be in tech, and that could not be farther from the truth. Now, for people that want to do this, of course, we know they can use Trailhead. And you said learn the fundamentals. And like I said, I'm a sports guy. I always compare stuff to boxing. You know what I'm saying? You know, shout out to that boy Bud went on, what you call it, last Saturday. But anyway,
yeah. I caught the end.
He gonna be Errol Spence too. I don't know if you're an Errol Spence fan, or you might like the Charlo since you're in Houston, from Houston.
I don't keep up with boxing, if we're being honest. But
they not nobody to keep up with anyway, so you good. But what would be, let's say I'm a person and my background's retail, right? Okay. Like I'm gonna use me for example. Coming out of college, I worked at Target. But let's say I want to get into Salesforce and I wanna go a non-technical route. What would be some good projects that I could do, like put on my resume, as far as like you showing that I know how to utilize Trailhead and the fundamental things that I need to do, you know, on my job with Salesforce? Like, what could I do to show that?
Okay, so the unique thing about Trailhead is they have a point system and a badge system. So the more modules that you complete, the more points you accumulate, and the more points you accumulate, the more badges you accumulate. So let's say you just quit your Target job. You're ready to learn Salesforce. This is week two after you already quit, and you spent about 40 hours a week just on Trailhead. So at that time, you should expect to maybe have accumulated, I'll say roughly, let's say 5,000 points. And that'll probably be equivalent to about 10 badges. So I would definitely include that information on my resume, just to let them know, like, hey, even though I have not formally worked in a Salesforce role, I have this amount of experience in the sandbox, and I've accumulated these amount of points and these amount of badges. And you can even go as far as listing the badges that you have accumulated. Let me see if I could find a quick example of like badge names. One second.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I'm also on LinkedIn, and I typed in Salesforce, which came up for like entry level alone, so like 28,000 jobs. Oh, however, yeah, we know they slap entry level on everything on LinkedIn. So I was going to find one. What would be a title that I could search besides just Salesforce? Because that's so broad that it gave me everything.
I would search Salesforce Business Analyst row. So just Salesforce Business Analyst.
Okay. Let's see.
And just while you do that, I'll just call out like a couple of badges that I see on my profile here that I would, like, if I'm looking for a job, I would definitely include it maybe in my skills area. But we have Service Cloud Basics, Sales Cloud Einstein, Lightning Experience Rollout, Data Modeling, API Basics, User Engagement. So whenever you complete all the modules within like this area, so user story creation, you earn a badge. So whoever, you know, is interviewing you, they would have like a good idea of once you start calling out those badges names, that'll be an area to like, that will resonate with them. And they'll be like, hey, maybe this person does have, you know, that drive to, you know, if you work for yourself, like people will see that. Like people just want people to work at their company who are self-driven and who will do work. So once you just start from there, start accumulating your badges, like that will ring the bell for itself. So,
got you. So I appreciate that. And look, this is my first time doing this in a podcast episode, is doing this part, because I feel like this is so unique of a software that people who are actually subscribed to the channel get an actual treat, because we look at actual role to determine if, and you know what, we're going to make this even smaller. We're going to do Dallas, or I could do DFW. There we go. Let's do this. Let's make it easier. All right. Let's see if this is an entry level one. Can you see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. This says a mid senior level, so that's not what we're looking for. Because I have entry level. Let's say we got 26 things. Business system support analyst. That's architect, so I know they ain't entry level.
Yeah. Let's see.
What is a campaign support analyst? Well, that's not talking about SQL. So
that's SQL, yeah.
That looks like that's technical.
Project manager.
Will something like this be like a little less? I mean, I know it's less technical. I don't know if it'd be entry level because of it's a project management role, but I mean, let's click it and see what it say who they're looking for.
Okay, yeah, so this will be on the non-technical route. So if you're interested, if your goal is to become a project manager, what that role pretty much entails of is like managing the product development life cycle. So the way that I typically work is under the agile methodology. So we constantly are delivering user stories, and we work with a team of engineers, testers, business analysts, business stakeholders. So within this role, you're pretty much overseeing that process to make sure that everything is getting delivered correctly. Everything is getting delivered on time. And you are making the best solutions for delivery. So if the business acts like, hey, we have this process in place that it's just not working too well, like our users are having to click too many times to, you know, submit the case. So we just want to minimize this process to where, you know, decrease the processing time by 50%. So you'll coordinate with the solutions architect and, you know, confine the process to make it cleaner, shorter, and then you'll work with the rest of the team to just deliver that to production. So that's what this role is pretty much overseeing, that entire process. So as far as Salesforce, it just really helps to understand like what Salesforce can do and cannot do in this role. It's important to know, like whenever they're asking for a new request, to know like, okay, Salesforce, we can, you know, do this out of the box. We can simply create a process builder or some sort of system automation to deliver this request whenever you're communicating with the stakeholder. So I know a lot of people ask me personally about this type of role. So if you're interested, that's pretty much what it entails of. I mean, a lot more details. It's a heavy role depending on the size of the company and the actual project that you're working on. But it's interesting and it never gets boring. You never do the same thing twice. So,
yeah, definitely. No problem. Yeah. All right. So check this out. I always don't really care about like this or this or even this, because you can't say, they had it up here, this, and then had these two bullet points. Yeah. So I would tell people if I dismiss these two, it's like whatever. You can get past that with networking. But based on everything else you see, what do you feel about this job role? Does it still look entry level or is this mid level?
Honestly, it just depends on the project. It could be entry level. It could be middle. Let me look into it. No. So this role specifically, I can tell just by reading the qualification bullet points that this is more of a mid level role.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if I'm looking for a role, I would still apply for it because a lot of times, you know, if you have certain skills and it doesn't match up with the role, let's say you just aced your interview, there's a chance that the interviewer will connect you to a role that fits your skill set. So I wouldn't let any of these numbers or experiences that they're asking for, you know, intimidate me or like run me away from the role. I would actually gravitate towards it if that's something that I'm looking to do, at least within the next year or so. So I'll still shoot my shot personally.
Dope. All right, so this is going to be the last one we do. We're going to see if it's actual entry level.
Okay.
Let's see. We know what it says. Now, it says this a mid-senior level person right here. So maybe that could say that. But at the same time, everybody's definition of mid and entry is kind of different.
I see this.
Because I remember you was talking about this, like stories and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, user stories. You'll definitely write a lot of user stories as a business analyst. Let's see what else they have. Data flow, document, determine operational. If I'm looking for a business analyst role, I would 100% apply for this. So if you're in Dallas, if you watch this, if this role is still available at diverse links, go ahead and apply for it. I mean, I know they say mid-senior level, but they're going to shoot for the stars. So you got to shoot for the stars, too. Actively participate in Scrum Agile. Yeah. So this, and then on top of that, if you scroll up, I saw that it was a contract. So contract roles are great for entry level. You see there the first. So this would be a great example. I know it says mid-senior level, but again, as I'm reading through these bullet points, this is definitely something that like someone who's entering into the tech field could, as a business analyst, could definitely do and learn. That was cool. Thanks for bringing that up. You're on mute.
Yeah, no problem. I just thought about it in the spur of the moment because it's something I haven't did before. And I was like, well, for one, I'm going back to using this different software. I like it a lot. But two, I was like, what can be something different that I give these people? Because, I mean, a lot of us do this thing now. Shout out to all the content creators doing the interviews and stuff about tech roles and stuff like that.
Shout out to you. I love it. You're doing the Lord's work right now.
Right. So, I mean, I think that is, you know, now somebody can go, oh, and guys that don't know, that was LinkedIn. I'll briefly ask you about your LinkedIn or how important do you think, you know, LinkedIn is when it comes to getting a job. What's your viewpoint on that?
Yes, I would say LinkedIn is extremely important. I've gotten all of my jobs through LinkedIn from when I graduated. I received my shout out to LinkedIn. I received my first role. It was a contract role on LinkedIn, and every other role after that was through LinkedIn. Of course, when I was applying, I still use others, you know, job hunting sites. Can't think of any at the top of my head right now, but honestly, LinkedIn is like my best friend now.
Look,
so take advantage of it.
Oh no, definitely. I swear by it. Like if I was to just show, you know, my message inbox, recruiters hitting you up at 9 and 10 at night about positions. This last position, I put it like this. I'm gonna tell everybody this. You know, I consider myself a vet in the game. When you get the experience, you don't have to find a job. The jobs find you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep it like that. So I know sometimes who's on certain social media sites faking the funk, you know. But I appreciate you for pretty much telling everybody about LinkedIn. And maybe, hey, if y'all interested in Salesforce, you probably can connect with her on LinkedIn.
Yes.
I would say if you do have a question, make sure you actually research it first before asking her something that you could just Google. We hate that. I swear I hate it. I tell people all the time, I'm not going to answer any more type of consultation type of messages you send me in my Twitter request, because I'm like, no, you could at least look some stuff up.
Right. Hey, I take all questions. Sometimes when I'm asking questions, I feel like it's a stupid question, but I do get asked a couple of questions where I'm just like,
Yeah,
they could have Googled that. I'm going to go Google it. And now I learned something new. So,
yeah. Well, for me, because like, for example, so this is what I do now. Anybody who's thinking about doing a VIP coaching thing with me, my first task for everybody is automated. It's like, hey, it's a discover your path task, which I have to actually update. But it forces them to research what they want to do, look at the roles, look at the certs and everything else that's connected to that. So it sticks with them, opposed to me just telling them something. Because I talked to somebody, it's like, yeah, I remember the first time we talked about it, but now that I did the thing, I wrote it down, it stuck with me. I know it did, because you had to look it up. Just like in the old school, we didn't have phones or nothing. You know, my mama say, hey, look it up in a dictionary, you'll remember it longer.
Right.
And, you know, that holds true. So that's my method on it. I don't think any question is dumb, but I could tell if effort wasn't applied and you just asking me questions. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I don't want to be mean, but at work, you can't just keep on asking questions without trying to do something before you get stuck. So that's what I'm trying to get people to. Like, do what you can and somebody help you do what you can't. I'm put that on my shirt.
100%. 100%.
But you really put everybody, you know, on a lot of game. The last thing we're gonna touch on is be a little spicy.
Spicy.
The last couple of days on Twitter have been freaking crazy. People hating on tech Twitter, people that sell things and others that don't. And it's just, it's stupid. Like, one of my observations is, you know, sometimes you got a loud person in the room. Specifically, I'm tired of spaces. Like, everybody don't deserve to have a space. Just like everybody don't deserve to have a YouTube or a voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you have people that don't really have enough skin in the game trying to tell people kind of what to do, which is cool. You can help out, but you hadn't seen enough to always to know what you know. Just like I know everything I know ain't the only way to get somewhere. And I'm never going to be so sure in that. I'm the first person to tell somebody if they ask me about something I'm not familiar with, hey, that's not what I do. But I know somebody who's good at that. You know, contact them or let me look that up for you. But these people are in there just being loud, hating on content creators and not understanding like different things. Like the whole, most of the things about now the good content creators that we can't help everybody. Mm-hmm. So if we at least make something that we can sell, it can help you at your own pace and it's easy to do. Because that's the reason why I started automating my things and why I'm doing the ebook's pretty much done. I just got to edit it. But that's because I like talking to people, but I got tired of doing the same consultation like 3-4 times a day, the same questions, and it can get tiring. And I didn't see too much benefit from that. So I was like, let me just give these people a whole couple of weeks or months of a couple of sessions of me coaching in a book.
Right.
And so I don't think there's nothing wrong with somebody doing that because your expertise. And the thing is, people get mad about charging, but you're paying for people's time. Mm-hmm. And everything that you see on YouTube is not good info. I don't care if it's free or not. You don't know what you don't know. So, of course, if you don't know anything, oh, I did this and this and this. I got this on YouTube. Cool. Some of them guys ain't never did what they said they did. I'm just keeping it honest. You got people repeating talking points from other places. I'm just like, just relax. Everybody can be successful. If you want to help people and they don't want to have to pay for resources, cool. At the end of the day, you still can go pay for that cert or that other stuff or the study material. But yet, you know, and I'm just have to call it out. When it's us want to sell stuff, that's when it's the issue. Anybody don't look like me or whatever, they ain't got no problem paying. Now I want to charge some, and it's an issue. I'm like, and the thing is, people are charging way less than what you have to pay going to school. I don't see what the issue is. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of money on that master's degree, you know, and you didn't. I don't even tell people they got to go to school. If I did, mm-hmm. I'd be gatekeeping. I don't care. I like whatever way you can get in. I'm mm-hmm. not for you spending all that money. But that's how I felt about it, because I see that's really how I end up finding you, is the space. You spoke. I was like, yeah, I'm doing sales. I was like, cool. That's why I actually joined it, though. I found you, and then the other young man, I don't know if you remember, a guy who was talking about, you know, he was having issues like getting callbacks and stuff like that. I actually just, mm-hmm. I hooked him up. I'm not bragging about, but I hooked him up for free as far as just reviewing his resume. Because a lot of times,
I love it.
People are ready to kind of quit. I know some people are just ready to quit, like on their journey, stuff like that. But it's just some things that they don't know is why like stuff not working for them. And when I saw it, I totally understood why he wasn't getting any hits. And it was like 5-minute process. That's what kind of most of my people are, is the fact that I don't believe the resume has to be super fancy smancy, but it needs to highlight the things that you're best at in a concise manner under 7 seconds. If not, and you don't build a relationship with that recruiter, they're on and gone to the next applicant. And you're just wondering, man, ain't nobody calling me back. And I look at it, I say, oh, I see why. This don't even line up with what you're applying to. Mm-hmm. So I said I would say this to the Twitter people. Y'all need to relax. I don't think I'm joining those spaces for a while. I think I tweeted, I said, I'm spaced out. And one of the things I don't like is some of the people, they get different roles, or they try to tell people, like, you know, I came from help desk. So I always got mm-hmm. a soft spot for people that do it. And I don't like when people talk down on it, because truth be told, help desk people do a lot of work most of the time that they don't really get paid for. Right. And they don't really get paid for it. And you got other people trying to talk down on it. I'm like, it's okay if somebody starts at help desk, because they're getting the foundation. Now, I ain't going to tell them they got to stay there for a long time. Some people just want some IT experience. So that's what I feel like. Because, I mean, sure, you can have, look, somebody could do help desk for Salesforce. You know what I'm saying? That could be their way of getting into different stuff at Salesforce. So that's why I don't really knock anybody hustle. We all started off somewhere. What's your take on this Twitter stuff?
So I'll be quite honest. I'm not really intertwined with all of the Twitter noise. Like I definitely see it. For someone who's not even like too into Twitter, for me to even like see it that heavily, like I know it's like it's loud. Like, but me, I just like my quiet space. But I did join two spaces for the first time ever last week, and I did listen to a lot of feedback. It was interesting. And my thoughts were, honestly, the audience could be for people. Well, the audience was for people who were interested in tech and people who have already, you know, created their career in tech and have been, you know, in the industry for 5+ years. But my takeaway is that if you're interested into tech, don't let anything discourage you. Like anything that you see on Twitter, anything that you may hear, like don't let anything discourage you. Like if you just look around your environment, like everything is like heavily intertwined with technology. Like our lives are technology. Like they're creating an entire universe, metaverse, and that's technology based. So it's just like, why not integrate yourself into this like economy that's heavily tech based, while you have the opportunity to do so? Like, yes, I understand that you may not know how to, and you're still looking for the resources, but with anything, like consistency is key. Like if you just keep your eye on the prize, and just stay with it, like, I think this is a great time for for our people to actually have a voice in, you know, the future. Like if you look at politics, when that was probably being, you know, cultivated years ago, they, you know, people of our color weren't thinking about, you know, joining that or just didn't have that access or resource. So now that we do, it's just like, this is a great area to join and just to have a voice in, and a great time to start. Don't ever feel like it's too late. And for the people who have been in the industry, for years, I'd say just keep encouraging people, honestly. Like, it's obvious that we're underrepresented in this area heavily. So it's just like, you're bringing someone else into the industry or helping someone else or providing the resources will not impact you negatively in any type of way. It's not going to dim your light or anything. Like if you're a star, you're going to keep shining. It's just another star added. So just my advice is just continue to encourage and motivate people in any way that you can. And like I'm all about positivity. So I can't sell out negativity, whether they be noise or just any form of negativity. I don't hear it. So I'm just for, you know, moving forward. So moving the people forward, moving us forward. So if you're interested, don't get discouraged. Just keep going. Find that resource. It's going to help you. It's out there. Like it's 100% out there, and it's multiple resources. So just continue looking if you haven't found it. And if you're in tech, just continue to encourage people. Like you know what it's like. So you know the opportunities that exist. So it's just like, why not? Literally, why not? And that's my take on it.
Yeah. Like for me, this is the last part I'm speaking on it. I self-proclaim myself like already as like not really big bro, but I'm like all my women content creator friends that I talk to on a regular, I don't like, because it always be sometimes it be women, but I don't like when it be guys coming at them weird. So I always tell them like straight up, I was like, bro, direct them to me because I got smoke, because I don't like that. Like even if I have a tiff or something with a woman content creator, I'm not going to make it public. I said something one time about a content creator. I was being vague about it. That's only because we was on the subject about paying people who not qualified or something. But it honestly, it was just that was all I said, and I left it at that. It wasn't no need to tag them or anything because people knew, and a lot of people messaged me about it. But I wasn't finna go at a woman, which I never do. But I don't like the guys to be brave and doing too many theatrics when it comes to women. I was like, the energy is never the same with us. Like, I don't have them problems with people trolling me and stuff like that, because men know, like, if it's a line you cross, and then it's going to go a different way. But they feel like they can do women like that, and I don't like that. So I'd be like, hey, send them my way, because I got time. I got to get that sound bite to say, today I got time, cuz.
Look, as women, I feel like we should just always keep it classy, stay gracious, and focus on your paper.
Yeah. But see, I understand a lot of y'all, shout out to y'all. Like, I think y'all making the fellas work hard, because a lot of the, you know, I think it's more women trying to transition and tick than like a lot of fellas. But the women try to do
like
that.
Guys shy away from it, honestly. Like, they shy away from asking questions. Women are more vocal. Like, women are going to ask as many questions as needed, but guys typically shy away from that, is what I'm noticing a little.
Yeah. But I was going to say, the women try to stay classy and stuff like that, but, I mean, based on how women are made up, it's hard to do, because y'all aren't made to go through that with people. Like, y'all are going to get defensive, and y'all are going to try to clap back, and then y'all are like, you know what I'm saying? And y'all not meant to do that. Like, the warrior, I'm meant to go out there and slay the dragon, not you.
So I mean, it's just important to just know your role, respect the boundaries on both sides, and you know, keep it moving.
Let me see how this sounds real quick. But yeah, I'm gonna turn this down. But I'm not gonna hold you long. I feel like this is dope. Definitely a good way to open up season 2. Is there anything you want to tell people as far as I'm like following you or reaching out to you. I don't know why.
Yes.
Siri started doing something weird. I'm sorry, but I was saying, is there anything you want to tell the people about, like, how to reach out to you or follow you or anything else you want to tell the people?
Yeah. So I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. I hope you enjoyed it, Henry. I think it was a great conversation. But if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to me. Follow me on Instagram, Rachel Debra. It's on the screen, RachelDebra. I answer all my DMs. I may take a couple of days or weeks sometimes, but I will answer you. Follow me on Twitter, Rachel Debra. And I'm also dropping my YouTube video, my first YouTube video before the end of this year. So if you want to take it there, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Rachel Debra, again, and it will be very tech friendly. So I'm going to continue to drop a lot of gems on there as I continue to grow my career. Again, if you're interested in tech, just go ahead and take that leap forward. Don't stop. Keep going, and it'll all come full circle.
Shout out to
Henry. This is great.
It's actually Henri.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. Henri. Oh, okay.
But
got it.
But yeah, guys, appreciate y'all for tuning in. This has been another episode of the Textual Talk. Y'all know what to do. Share. You know how to reach me on my social media. You know how to reach her. And, you know, we're going to get out of y'all here. We out.